First up, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the Infotainment Podcast. Before we start the program, I would like to mention a few things. There are several ways you can help support the Infotainment Podcast. A few of them are you can subscribe, you can download, you can tell your friends that you enjoy the program and they should give it a listen. You can also make a donation of your choice to randyms12@gmail.com through PayPal. And if you would like, there are some shows that you may not have heard of or heard at Patreon. It's at patreon.com/infotainment. There are some of the ways that you can help support the show. And some of the money will go to help with some medical expenses and other things. I pretty much have the equipment the way I want it for quite a long time. So it would be greatly appreciated if you showed some love to this program. Well, let's get this podcast started. Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. Welcome to all the fun, festivities, and frivolity one show can provide, and this is the last stop podcast shop on your internet dial. First up on the podcast docket, I picked up the old golf clubs today that I haven't used in several years and have been in storage under extreme temperature variations. And luckily, I didn't lose any grips. But I could have just as well left them in storage as well as I played. It is tough to pick it up after several years. I had a friend at the time make these clubs because he was studying that and became a manager of Store Golfsmith up in the Twin Cities area. And I don't have a full set, but I have a 3 and a 5 metal, 5-7-9, and a sand wedge. And the putter, of course. That was the best part of my game today, was the putting. During the drives, I kept bouncing them off my ankles. I kept shanking the ball right. I don't know. I need to go to the driving range for several hours to get back into a semi-straight drive off the tee. It's the good shots you remember, and that's what keeps coming you back. And it's unfortunate the millennials are killing off golf. We had a nice course here called Prairie View that closed up, public course. It was really super nice. And I played that several times. My sister and brother and some people from my previous employer. So we still have one course in town. I haven't played that in a long time. But I played a new course in Lakefield, Minnesota. It was new to me, and starting out is 2 par 5s. And that's about as tough as you can get without a driver. I don't know, maybe I should just let the clubs go back and collect cobwebs or use it as I got a 2-wheel cart, use it as a clothes rack or something. But it would be fun to go to the driving range and try to improve on my swing. I kept shanking it right in the rough. And the rough here is not the rough you see on the PGA Tour. Rough here is like long prairie grass. And it's not like manicured higher grass that you see. Main trouble is I can't, when I hit it well, off the tee, I can't follow the ball, and none of the other partners I'm playing with, they give me wrong areas to look, and where you think you hit it is not always where it lands. And every good drive, I could not find the ball and lost several Wilson and Dunlop balls. I maybe even lost the Nike ball I had saved. No, it did not have a TW on there. I doubt that he has come through this part of the state for any golf. He couldn't pull up his yacht to, it's pretty landlocked here. So that was my golfing experience today. It was kind of hot, and there was some sloping that I almost, my two-wheeler almost pushed me over down the hill. And that would have been great. But I had a fairly smooth putting stroke. I read the greens were really fast and one sloped downhill, so I eased up on it, and it came fairly close. I wish I would have sunk that one, but it was not to be. There were a couple things that I had omitted in my conversation. The course in Lakefield is not new, but it was new to me. And also, I had my friend make me a 2-iron. I don't think he'd mind me mentioning his first name, Scott, that we played several times at the Coon Rapids executive course, and one time played their main course, which was super nice. And in this town of Worthington, I do miss the Prairie View course. Unfortunately, that is no more. He made me a 2-iron, if I didn't mention that, which I have heard that's the hardest club to master. I really don't know why, but I have hit some really nice shots with that. Also in this area, the rough can be considered a corn or a bean field. And I'd like to get out of that and go to a course that doesn't have that. Like I'm going to go trudging into a bean field to look for a ball. Well, let's move on to another titillating topic.
Ooh.
The next item I have up for bids on the podcast showdown. These are some items you should not go on vacation without. It involves an Oklahoma man. He was stopped and he was driving with, well, it was the vehicle was stolen. And he also had a rattlesnake, uranium, whiskey, and a firearm. Police state, officers in Oklahoma made a startling discovery after arresting two people at a traffic stop, only to find that their vehicle contained a rattlesnake, a canister of uranium, an open bottle of whiskey, and a firearm. Don't all vehicles in 2019 carry a canister of uranium? An officer with the Guthrie Police Department had pulled over Stephen Jennings and Rachel Riviera for driving with expired tags on June 26, Sergeant Anthony Gibbs told ABC News. After the officer discovered that Jennings was driving with an expired license and Riviera was a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, both were placed under arrest. Gibbs said the vehicle, a Ford Explorer, was impounded because it did not have insurance. It was later discovered that the vehicle had been stolen. Yeah, they have a mugshot of this guy, and it looks like he just stepped out of 1969, and it's kind of funny. He doesn't look too happy, but he has on a necklace that looks like a dime-sized emoji with a green smiley face on it. So when the impound of the vehicle begins and they start moving compartments, here's the rattlesnake in the back seat. Gibbs said it was surprising to the officer, obviously. As the officers continued to search the vehicle, they spotted an open bottle of Kentucky Deluxe whiskey. If you're going to break so many laws regarding your travel, maybe you should buy some Hennessy cognac. At least make it worth. The whiskey was near the firearm, the sergeant said, when they discovered a container of yellowish powder that was labeled uranium. I do not... For what purpose, who knows? Jennings of Logan County told officers that he had the uranium because he recently purchased a Geiger counter to test metals, and the chemical element came with the purchase. He joked with officers that he was trying to create a super snake, Gibbs added. Maybe all the meth beforehand. Wanted to make a super snake. Oh, man. It did not appear that Jennings or Riviera were under the influence of the alcohol. Now, that is surprising there. Jennings was arrested on charges of possession of a stolen vehicle, transporting an open container of liquor, operating a vehicle with a suspended license, and failure to carry a security verification form. The sergeant said Riviera was arrested on charges of possession of a firearm after a former felony conviction. The snake was taken from the scene and euthanized, Gibbs said, and the uranium was inspected. The uranium did not result in charges because Jennings was in possession of a legal amount. So you can carry a legal amount of uranium? That sounds... kind of odd there. I've never heard that. Jennings was also within his right to have the snake. Yeah, I suppose that would be true. In the state of Oklahoma, there are certain seasons where you can hunt rattlesnakes, Gibbs said. This just happens to be one of those seasons. Gibbs said that it was the first time he had ever encountered a discovery like this, and that his department has received calls from other municipalities regarding how they handled it. Because if we run into it, Gibbs said, it's going to be possible that someone else runs into it. Jennings could not immediately be reached by ABC News. Yeah, that is an odd story. Now, my next vacation, I'm going to see if I can buy a legal amount of uranium. Maybe it can make your car more fuel efficient. I don't know. No sound effect here. Just me and the harp. Right now, I'm going to discuss the world of online dating, but it will cost you. There is another service out there that you can use. Let's see here. When Facebook launched in 2004, Scott Valdez used it to find women who attended the University of Georgia. He sent them dozens of messages using one of five pickup lines and then recorded the women's responses and response rate in a spreadsheet. He applied his algorithm to plenty of fish and hired a guy on Craigslist to manage his profile on these sites for him. Scott's personal experiment laid the groundwork for his matchmaking service called Vida Select, V-I-D-A Select. It's now the biggest virtual dating service of its kind. Here's how it works. Dozens of remote consultants, from a stylist to a photo analyst to an app swiper, work together to curate and manage your online dating profiles for you, with the promise of finding you the perfect match. Vida, whatever. Will create a profile for you on any of the most popular dating apps from Tinder to Bumble. The more you pay, the more dates you get. Packages can range from $695 a month for 2 to 6 dates, $1,295 a month for 6 to 12 dates. And here we have the trains. I am on Tinder and Bumble, but I haven't paid anything for it. I've had a few people match, but I don't know. But here's where Via goes beyond regular matchmaking services. They even have a ghostwriter who uses Scott's messaging algorithm to flirt with your matches on your behalf, so you don't even type your own messages to them. Once your ghostwriter gets you a date number, they send you a transcript of all the message he writes on your behalf so that you memorize them ahead of your date. We have the ability to go through and download all the profiles on the apps in the local area. The algorithm, what it does is based on millions of messages that we've already sent. It predicts who are the users that are most likely to respond to the client based on all the client's demographic, said Valdez. So we're able to identify the people who are most likely to respond to what day they're most likely to respond to a message and what messages they're most likely to respond to. Everyone fudges on dating apps, but VIDA takes the fudging to the extreme. How far is too far? Now, I watched a video on this, and the guy interviewed the owner of this company or whatever, and his profile, they suggested, well, you go out and buy $1,000 worth of new clothes. Probably even suggested, showed them what he picked out or whatever. They had a professional photographer, and they had shots of him with a dog. What woman doesn't like a guy with a dog, you know? It was definitely interesting. They have all these people telling you, get a haircut, do this, do that. But once you're writing those messages back and forth, you're actually not writing them. It's a ghostwriter writing them on your behalf based on what you've told the person about yourself. So the guy who did the interview told his potential dates that he was using this service and how it worked, and most of them declined, and one of them, because they were angry because they thought he misrepresented himself. And I don't know. Yeah, it is a gray area there. Yeah, if you're not going to dress up like that, pretty much, you know, if it isn't really you and what you'd wear or how you'd respond to somebody, I could see why they would be saying it misrepresents yourself. I guess I will. It is expensive, but you get a lot of people consulting with you. So essentially, maybe it's a good thing, but they should let the person write their own responses. And what's going to work and not should be based upon the guy who wants the dates. You know, this town is so small. We only have a few places and the dating pool is rather limited. Who doesn't want to go on the internet and try their luck on that when you're in a small town and whatever? But if you're willing to fork over the dough, you can try that service. And it might, I don't know, maybe if they use enough of what your personality is like, it might work for you. They had a picture of the guy, and it looked like he said that the photos of him may have been airbrushed a little bit. But they put the best, they try to get you to put the best foot forward. So, well, here's my traditional one I use is, I say, you must be a parking ticket because you got fine written all over you. Now, if that works, you can send me an email and you think you qualify, it's randyms12@gmail.com. You can, I don't know. Well, that's my own thing. I didn't make it up, but I heard it and stuff. But I don't have a ghostwriter writing my stuff for these shows. It's all done by myself. But if you're willing to fork over the dough, give it a shot. And if you don't mind all the primping and preening they put you through, and that somebody else responds to the women besides yourself, a ghostwriter, and even the guy interviewing, he looked at some of the messages that they sent to the women, and he said, oh man, he didn't specifically say, I wouldn't say that exactly, but. So, ladies, what do you think? Do you think that's total manipulation, misrepresentation, and now to achieve a date? But there are a lot of guys out there willing to go the extra mile and money to find a true match, you know, because there are a lot of lonely people out there, unfortunately. This next story is for those of you who love chicken wings, and it involves Mr. Joey Chestnut. He eats 413 chicken wings in grueling glutton marathon. The 12-time Nathan's Hot Dog champ consumed the Hooters wings like clockwork. Competitive eater Joey Chestnut had a bone to pick with an eating challenge this week. Lots and lots of bones. Chestnut, Major League's eating number one glutton, devoured 413 Hooters chicken wings in 12 hours at the Mall of Georgia, according to a news release. The top dog trencherman celebrated National Chicken Wing Day by attacking Hooters. $15.99 all-you-can-eat special, USA Today reported. He started at 11 a.m. on a Monday and downed 250 wings by 5:50 p.m. to merit a t-shirt presentation. Then he continued his wing assault for several more hours. His voraciousness should come as no surprise to competitive eating fans. Chestnut, known as Joey Jaws, won his 12th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on July 4th and is the Nathan's record holder with 74 hot dogs plus buns consumed in 10 minutes. Chestnut, also known for taking his preparation seriously, performing jaw-dropping mouth exercises that includes weights. Now that's some pig. Their words, not mine. Oh, man. 413 chicken wings. Unbelievable. Yeah, I've seen him on Man vs. Food, and he was talking with the host. He just devoured like this huge sub and like nothing flat. The guy can put down the food, and he's like a skinny dude. It's unbelievable. Well, now I think it's time to pop and drop this podcast to the internet, and I would like to suggest some things to support this show. If you've enjoyed it over these many episodes, you can make a donation at randyms12@gmail.com. You can also subscribe, download, tell your friends about Infotainment if you like it. You can also become a patron of Infotainment at patreon.com/infotainment. And you can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster and also my Facebook page. Please help support the show. Tell your friends. Tell your friends it's funnier than hell. But right now, I'd like to say I hope you have a happy day today and a happy ending tonight. We're going to end this show a little bit differently this time. That sucked, I know.